Could you look me in the eye?
Are you lost? Have you experienced loss? Are you losing? It's a void down everyone's journey through this very chaotic, intricate, spiral world that we call life evident. A void down whether or not we try to avoid it, or want to avoid it, and unfortunately know that we can't avoid it. Happening to us or happening soon, and we seek the light that is there at some point to relieve us from trauma and the dark. And yes, it is stereotypically at the end of that spirally shaped tunnel. And well, the darkness is too. The darkness will also predictably appear once again and again and again. There is no judgment, of course, as to how you will view yourself or to anybody else. I say it's infinitely exponential as to where we are in our lives, who we are, what has affected us, see our world around us, and choose to go from there. A bit of a slightly morbid, but a welcome to episode 5 to the soundtrack of my life. It's titled Off the Beaten Track. For that moment and moments where we lose our way and are found without purpose, we're faced in the mirror with ourselves saying, it's okay, I'm okay with being done and with nothing seemingly left to do. It's hard, and every time I imagine myself in such a dark space, I think about so many people struggling with their invisibility. And as a human being, you and I cannot live without the satisfaction of self-actualization. I say that a lot, self-actualization. I think I've mentioned it in every episode so far. Because without this, and especially in this episode, knowing that you do not understand or visibly clarify that need for you to be here, that purpose, again, that self-actualization, that's where this story and podcast begins. As a human being, and well, hashtag life happens, nobody knows where and when and why we need to just be all the time. We assume it, we've given labels to it, we have a process or processes, steps, 7, 11, 12, 100,041 set programs, an infinite path of choices, and all categorized as unknown unknowns, is us actually playing Russian roulette with our own life, and no one is exempt. Why am I even here? This is, of course, and I understand if you're in a great place, this is going to sound a little whiny for you, probably going to switch off and stop listening. But that question of why am I even here, you can't exist and avoid that question. In fact, in very good and great moments in our life, we say, well, is this the reason? Am I here for this? If we don't question that, there is no bout of humanity within us. I'd like to think that I could sell the idea that you need to reach out and touch a barrier of assistance, comfort, companionship, and consolidation from another. That this journey that you need to make will not always be a ticket for one, but it is. The music in this episode is encouraged by artists who sounded off when I couldn't. When a song and a tune and those feels that you get, right, are everything that I couldn't muster a single word to accurately describe how I was feeling.
Was
Countless occasions woken up and for no real reason just didn't want to get out of the bed and well live. And this was not anything to do with a medical condition or a mental condition. It was man, it was an out of this world or out of body, out of this world experience. I remember it very clearly. On the 4th of January many years ago, and it had nothing to do with the coming of a new year, I woke up and I was existentially broken, as if not a single piece of myself had been connected to another part anymore. I got off the bed, I sat on the floor, I embodied uselessness. And after a lifetime of growth and achievement and I could list a whole bunch more, which in previous episodes I have. But then I felt, and what? My specter of life had drowned and died in an ocean of abysmal nothingness. By accepting that I didn't matter, I inadvertently accepted nothing else did, or would or could ever matter. I spent the large majority of my life defining myself by the odd 20% of questionable things that I did or that encapsulated who I was and who I am. The 20% that at that point I never knew were all things triggered and led with fury by what anyone can consider the immovable weakness that partly make up who you are as your own person. I tried to change. Man, I took this from a great and positive point of view, and I said, well, you know what? And this started when I was literally a kid. No influence of parents or anything like that. There was nothing like that where that made me feel any less. I had the perception in life that I would listen to other people to improve. And that's a for real. I thought even back then, and I knew I didn't know everything because learning was something I loved to do. And in this way, I would see other people's perceptions and their opinions and whatever it was, and how I would live back even at 6 years old in the world around me, and I would better myself. But it became toxic very quickly. And I want to kind of put that to the side, and I want to get back to that in a second. I never took to mind the 80%, you know, the other 80%, the 80% that wields success. And I say never because I always say my last point of reference is what I call a lifetime ago. These were many lifetimes ago that I can absolutely relate to this particular me. The 80% that wields success of me, demanding greatness, that grasped with fluidity and ease all things larger than life, that came to my inevitable rescue every other moment that I chose. Two and again, breathe in, my favorite, and breathe out, and move one step after the other forward. This 80% was an autopilot. It was an autopilot life. I banked nothing. I succeeded in many. And with that, being able to, I suppose, hold something strong and solid and stable, and I suppose in the foundation of what makes you you, when the proverbial going gets proverbial tough enough, eh? The thing is, courage, passion, empathy, humanity in life, and purpose. To become your own champion, it's actually only acquired if you brave the walk off the beaten track. As we move through life, even the most obvious and simple of lessons and mindsets can be ignored, misinterpreted, or never intentionally explored. To each and every one of us, I kind of liken this to when people say they have discovered a sign, you know, that provides a foundation for a decision that needed to be made. It's like a fortune cookie or even a billboard that you've passed every single time you've gone to work for many years can suddenly be in your line of sight as something that resonates an interpretation of a narrative towards which you have already decided to follow. That's a bit of a mouthful, but it's exact. I suppose, simply put, at any point, we see and hear and touch and do exactly what it is, exactly when we want to do it, and exactly how we want to get it done. So I'm saying when this happens, the precursor to this is definitely a state of chaos. And a solution is needed for the chaos to subside. And I'm all for that. We take one road or another, right? You can see the picture in your head, right? You standing there, there's the two sides, left or right, which one are you going to go down? Kind of a bit of like a Pocahontas feel. And which river bend will you flow towards? We take one or the other, both being an embodiment of space and place we have never ventured before. Those ultimate decisions that truly shape the person that you are and the person that you will be. Again, these unknown unknowns, so to speak, of navigating through life, the do or die moments that we know nothing of that experience and nothing of what or how the experience will impact us in either a positive or a negative way. It's rather poetically incorrect in that if these choices that each of us mold into who we are as human beings, we dwell and dictate the negative outcomes as a definitive to who we are as failures. And how we are 100% all of a sudden accountable for them in a sentence as life imprisonment. Something I read somewhere was how the majority of us who benefit positively through a choice off the beaten track interpret it as luck and something that happened because we were in the right lane with the right car driving at the right speed at exactly the right time. We almost never acknowledge to the same depth and impact our negative choices and how they sculpture us compared to the positive choices and how they should, could, and would have done in the same capacity. And the scope creeps on and on and on, round and around, around that river bend, until, and even if we get to our own intervention, to set ourselves straight. Let me get real for a moment with my personal experience and touching base with that of around what I just said. I look back at my life and I'm definitely someone who has traveled off the beaten track more so than making regular, responsible, safer decisions. And when I say that, I mean, you know, not that I was irresponsible completely. I mean that, you know, the simple life. I love and I strive for the simple life, man. I constantly just was very curious, to put it extremely lightly. I felt at a certain point, all I did was travel eventually off beaten tracks. I'll tell you when it started. Throughout school, and I hated being there. I worked well on my own. I didn't get into, I wasn't ever part of a group or a popular crowd or whatever. I was quite the opposite at a certain point in secondary schooling, particularly. I had mentioned briefly in previous episode of the bullying factor. The bullying at a specific point was publicly brutal. And when I was in 10th grade, I got up again, proverbially, because I can't remember if it was a Sunday or it was a little bit of a process. I'm assuming it was, because I was pushed to a bridge between either caving in or cracking. And either one was not a choice for me. And I made one hell of a life hack. Because all I accepted, and let's face it, allowed, was one extreme of existing within this particular narrative. I did. And why I say I allowed it without seeming, like it was your fault. Oh, it was my fault all entirely. Is because I did back then theoretically think of how I would be able to find a peaceful middle ground by storming down the other extreme of this beaten track. And so I got physical. It's something I never really did, in the way that I got my hands deep and dirty, ready to do anything, to feel and experience anything but that of what I already knew for so many years, sitting on the sideline and allowing, from that little kid who was very interested, you know, in learning about how to better himself, to someone who just sat there and allowed every single narrative around him to define who he was. And I was brutal, and I was accountable, and I wanted to make sure that my efforts to overcome were never unacknowledged. They were direct. I would confront my opposer, my obstacle, whoever that was, and I was diabolical. And even though I should be apologetic for it now, I won't, because it was necessary. As I rose out of that very small and one-directional mini-verse that existed in the school space, I didn't feel like I was hitting my full extremes. But then I turned out to be aggressively confrontational, basically trying to make up for lost time, and basically anyone was anything but a confidant. I became detached, all at risking the possibility that I would choose to kneel to my own cop-out of will ever again. Privately, I started falling into an extreme destructive solitude. And this was the other side. I saw a habit became a lifestyle, and a lifestyle became my mindset, and my mindset became my narrative for my soul. And in my being, chaos reigned supreme once again, because that was the narrative that I now wanted. And all the while on autopilot, my surface level accomplishments, ambitions, and success could have just been as easily the exact and opposite essence of being, but they weren't.
Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always had to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go.
We all know what's going to happen next, because it is cliche for a reason. I've always said it's cliche for a reason. I had to now find a way to forgive myself. And I Googled, I self-helped, I TED-talked, I did everything to understand something that I had never been, I suppose, familiar with before. Through even, like I say, all the transitions, this was something that I never, never understood how to do properly. I found that a couple of tips really helped. I focused on my emotions and gave them meaning. So one of the first steps in learning how to forgive oneself is to focus on what emotions you're having, where they're coming from, and why you're having them. Before you can move forward, you need to acknowledge it for real. And when I say for real, say, I get it. This is, and I am. Give yourself a bit of permission to move forward. Just a little bit. Just say, yes, okay, cool. I'm there. I want to recognize and I want to accept to trigger a way into your own self-welcoming. I kind of fake it till you make it. When I say that, things that are spoken out loud are sedimented more finely, I suppose, and more directly into our training of our brain. So when you acknowledge out loud what you've learned from a mistake, it's 10 to 1 in exactly that ratio will be more effective. And when you think of each mistake as a learning experience, because the thing is that you did learn something, but now you're acknowledging and you are owning and you are welcoming it in. It reminds ourselves that we did the best that we could with the tools and especially that knowledge that we had at that very moment. It helps the forgiveness become something tangible, a reality. Give yourself the permission to not rush this entire journey and this process. For I always say, for a lifetime of destruction requires a lifetime of resurrection. Press pause on the extreme self-criticism. Be like, you know what? I'm kind of tired of that extreme and I don't want to go there anymore. No, that's not where I want to live any longer. You have to quiet those negative messages and you can never silence them, but you just have to turn the volume down. And you got to be clear about what you want. So I always say, don't do 10 things at the same time. It's going to take you 10 times as long and more than likely will not get anything achieved. This I learned the hard way. And so I decided in my process forward of kind of like self-preservation, I would do one thing at a time. I would do exactly one thing. I actually didn't care how much the other nine would affect my life. They already are in a chaotic state of being. But I'm going to fix this one thing and I'm going to own it and I'm going to conquer it and I'm going to bank exactly one I know so I can move to number 2, 3, 4 and take your own advice, because that type of ownership and confidence is one beautiful thing that you can gift yourself. This all, of course, takes time, patience, and a reminder to yourself that you're, of course, worthy. It's said so many times, but you're worthy of forgiveness. Come back from the space that you've primed out for yourself is a hard one. What was actually trauma is then produced over time to entitlement. What was success and not banked as an asset to you and your arsenal is lost. And it is invisible in your own reflection of self. When I realized this a time after that moment on January 4th, I felt more defeated than I ever had in my life. Not better, worse. As being my own puppeteer to a shell of what I saw, dangling from those broken and worn strings. And again, in any state, one cannot arrogantly assume to be a certainly victorious statistic against the alternative, right? So at that very moment, it was very easy for me to say, do or die. In every literal way, I looked in the mirror and I saw the obvious, what I was and what I always had been, a risk taker, a single cheerleader for my own efforts. I saw something in that nothing, and that young boy who felt comfort, clarity, and clearance for a birthright to great things in his own life. And I said to myself, from this moment, I'm going to completely buy into who I was at my core and who I was throughout my entire life. And if I didn't succeed because, you know, at that low, I felt I had honestly nothing of value to lose. And statistics are exactly that, statistics. Some people win and some people lose. I wasn't delusional. And this most definitely was going to be the hardest and longest and most challenging road off my beaten track. So I decided to accept failure, and I allowed it. And growth, I allowed. And every win, I welcomed. And it was something, once again, that I shot right into that bank. I only had myself to impress. And there was no one that I owed an excerpt of explanation of an obligation to. Because I didn't want to be anyone's hero, nor anyone's villain, anyone's flight, or anyone's burial, I have just the right amount of energy and commitment in one day to holistically dedicate to myself. Give me a second. I don't want to lose you. I know that sounds terrible. When you want and then decide that you are now to start this existential journey to yourself and for yourself, you have to be the bulldog at your own gate. You don't let anything come between you and today's 1% of growth that, once again, let's say it all together, you put in that bank. You will fake the love that you want for yourself first. You will then break that great wall and barrier between you and yourself. And then you will make it exist in real, thrive, and emancipation within what exists as being loved by yourself, for yourself. Because only when you are completely selfish about how much you need, give and allow to yourself, can you be anything of any value, love, help, and even purpose with being to anybody else.
We are not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. We were moving mountains long before we knew we could. It's hard to kill.